Hello, we are the Brothers Geek, and this is our podcast. How are you all, listeners? Yes.
This is
episode 27 on, what's the date today? 27th on the 28th.
January 2015 is almost over.
We have a regular, I'm Patrick Schmaltz, we're brothers, we're geeks, we talk about geeky stuff, and there's Andrew Schmaltz. Hello, Andrew.
Hello.
And there's Christopher Schmaltz. Hello, Christopher.
Evening, boys.
And we have a special guest to the Brothers Geek podcast.
It's a guest, anyway.
Yeah. Okay, true.
I'm not special.
he's a dedicated listener and brother.
Commenter extraordinaire.
You know, relative. How's he related to you, Christopher?
All around awesome brother-in-law.
Sean Bratton. Hello, friend. Sean.
Married to the identical twin of my wife, Barbara. Barbara is the sister of my wife, Susan. So yes, we've known each other for a very long time.
Christopher stepped on.
For this forum, all that matters is I'm a level two geek.
Level two. That's fine.
What episode? Call him back to like episode 10 or so.
Yeah, I like it. I would say you're a little higher than that because you played
World
Warcraft. Yeah,
I would
say Warcraft.
So because Sean and I have been playing WoW together for how many years now?
Four, five, six, seven, to get the trophy they just handed out.
Yeah, seriously.
What trophy is this? What trophy?
They sent out a prize for people who had an account for 10 years.
Oh, jeez.
Since the beginning of WoW.
Yeah.
They sent out a statue, a replica of, you know, that big badass statue of, like, the orc and the wolf that's in front of Blizzard headquarters? Patrick, you probably
know that. Yeah, I know that, yeah.
They sent a, I don't know how big it was. Is it like a foot tall, Sean, or something like that?
Yeah.
It's like a foot tall replica of that statue.
I
didn't get one either.
To everybody's had an account for 10 years.
Yes, everyone who's had an account for 10 years.
Now, question,
Have you had to pay?
Have you had to pay them every month for that 10 years?
Active account for 10 years.
Holy crap. So you've given them thousands of dollars.
I mean, easily.
Right. 10 years times $12. What is that? 14 a month.
So math in public,
do the
right?
Math in public. At the public.
But
$1,400.
I did not get one.
$1,400.
Wow.
Yep.
That's commitment.
But
I thought that was awesome that they did that, but I didn't get one.
How many people?
So it's not so awesome.
Do we have any numbers on how many people, how many of these they sent out?
No numbers. They didn't say. At least I haven't seen.
Wow. But like, it can't be that many because I bought World of Warcraft when it first came out, like the first 6 months that it was out, but I haven't continuously played it since. Like I've stopped and started, and
that's why you didn't get one.
But
you didn't pay them $2,000.
But like I'm sure there's a lot of people who have done the same thing that have, you know, they've taken a break or they, you know, come back, 6 months off and then they play for a couple years, you know, and those people never got one. There's got to be like a short number.
It's a short list of people who are continuous for 10 years.
Continuous.
Still, they're rolling.
Well,
money,
so. I mean, it's still thousands probably, right? I mean,
a short list of
10 million players.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean,
that's crazy though.
But I mean, Chris, you probably did the same thing, right? I saw that, and then I'm like, well, how long have I been playing? Because it seems since vanilla, but 8 years. It was 8 years for me, so not quite there.
But you never like stopped paying your account. You always like kept it open that whole time.
Yeah, $15 a month for 8 years.
Wow.
I have never taken a break from my account.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yep.
Well, that's
money
good.
Well spent.
It is, absolutely.
Let's not talk about my crack too much because you're itching me to play right now.
Pat's got like spiders under his arm.
Right? I got spiders, bros.
Now we just log on and manage our garrison.
That's right.
So I would say
that's right. You're like the foreman or the mayor of a dumbass little garrison with a bunch of worker bees.
Hey, I'm so. First time on the show and on the intro, right? So glad to be here, guys. Thanks for inviting me.
Of course.
I'm psyched.
Welcome aboard.
We are happy to have you.
You had a discussion at one point on who's your number one fan, and I'm shooting for number two fan spot.
Yeah,
I don't think the number two fan has to sleep with any of the Brothers Geek.
That's a very good point. It's a very
saying that's going on. I'm just saying.
I will say without equivocation that I think that my girlfriend is our number one fan.
Totally.
She is all the time. Like, if it goes longer than 4 or 5 days without me even talking about scheduling, you know, a time to record with you guys, she's like, "So when's a new episode going to go up? When's a new episode going to go up?" She is like chomping at the bit.
Yeah.
Every week for a new episode. She loves it.
Yeah.
I canceled plans with her tonight so that we could record because we were all available. And she's like, "That's fine. You're okay. Record. I want a new episode."
That's priorities. Dude, she is a keeper all the way.
She is a keeper, dude. That's legit right there.
Yeah, she loves a new episode. Yeah.
All right.
So you didn't invite her on the podcast, though.
This is a Brothers Geek podcast. It's all Brothers.
Right. Okay. She's listened to, I've said this in the past. Anybody who wants to be on the show has to have listened to the show. And if she wants to be on here, she can be on here. But she's got to bring the
listen.
She's got to be able to bring it.
She's got to bring it.
Above a level one, though, dude?
She's got some things that I don't. I think she's more than
geekness.
A level one.
She watches geeky stuff with you, right?
She's at least a two. Sean, you're definitely a three. You're not a two, by the way.
Well, she's been to a con, though,
for 8 years, they are at least a three. That's the floor.
Oh yeah, and she's been to. I took her to a con last year, and she's got some geeky kind of. She reads kind of fantasy novels and things like that too, so she's got some interest she can bring in there. She's not a gamer by any means. She played the Wii, but she doesn't have anything
she can talk about. She probably isn't much of a gamer that you are. So
whoa, dude!
All right,
you can't say that anymore about Andrew. You can't say that Andrew has been locked in on Destiny since it came out.
That's true. Yeah, okay, let's start some discussion here.
We got some news.
So I would like to start off by, you know, with our guest. Sean, have you seen the new Fantastic Four trailer that they released yesterday?
Yes, I have. I saw them announce it on Twitter, and then I watched it on YouTube. Yeah.
Have you? Okay. What do you think? What's your initial thoughts about it?
So trailers are always awesome, right?
Yes.
I'm not a Fantastic Four guy, so I didn't read the comic, and I didn't love the early movies. I mean, they were entertaining, but I didn't think that much of them. So the trailer's great, but I don't have the so I don't know if it's out of canon, right? I don't know where it's at, but I thought the trailer looked good. But all trailers look good, you know?
I
actually had the same exact reaction Sean did. I thought the trailer was fantastic. And I've read some Fantastic Four comic. I read more of the Ultimate Universe Fantastic Four.
Which they're basing this movie on.
That's the point I was getting to. Right. They are absolutely basing it on the Ultimate Universe of
that
Marvel
annoys,
comics.
And it's, from my perspective, that annoys the hell out of me. I've been reading Fantastic Four since I was a kid.
Yeah,
I was a fan of the Thing. You know, the Holy Grail of our comics was the Thing was the star, right?
Exactly. Yes.
So I've been a huge fan of the Fantastic Four, the family dynamic, the whole deal.
Yeah.
About the Fantastic Four was that family sort of interaction that drove the interest in the comic. Yeah, they had all cool powers and everything else, but the in between the fights and everything else was this family trying to work this shit out.
Yeah.
And I'm not down with the going with the Ultimate Universe. I'm just not. It just bums me out. And I agree.
The trailer looks great.
It's in the mode of Christopher Nolan and the dude who did Man of Steel. That sort of tone of the trailer. Everybody's going darker and that kind of kind of thing, right?
I don't necessarily, but Christopher, don't mistake the ultimate universe. They definitely have familial connections. It's still Sue Storm, and it's still Reed Richards, and it's still, and they still have the. I don't honestly with Michael B. Jordan playing the Human Torch, Johnny Storm. I could assume that he could be the brother of Sue
Storm.
Probably,
he's probably like adopted. He's credited as Johnny Storm, so he will be.
So they still have. There's still that familial aspect. The part of the trailer that spoke to me specifically was the voiceover where they're talking about the consequences of discovery, and people miss the fact, at least can gloss over it at least a little bit, that the Fantastic Four, they started as astronauts, and they were kind of like on this. You know, Reed Richards invented a new spaceship, and Johnny Storm and Ben Grimm were piloting
the
spaceship.
Yeah,
and that's kind of, and they got
Ben
their
Grimm's
powers.
A pilot. He's an astronaut pilot. Like for,
exactly.
Yes.
So
yes.
Right. And that theme that runs through the trailer of they're kind of, you know, they go on this adventure. They're trying to discover something new, and then these powers arise out of that. Mm. I kind of like that theme. If they're going to focus on that more in the movie. I think that that's a good thing to focus on. So yeah. I like that aspect of it.
Well,
and I'm really hoping this is – I agree with everything you just said. But I'm really hoping because Dr. Doom is one of my favorite villains.
Yeah.
I really hope that they make him a badass.
There's no one credited – there's no one credited as Dr. Doom, but there's Victor Domstrang.
Yeah, he's Dr. Doom.
Yeah. So, yep.
Victor is the alter ego of Dr. Doom. So,
yeah,
if they make him a badass, how you know they totally screwed that up in the first couple movies.
Oh, they horribly.
But if they make him a badass because he is the smartest, one of the smartest, richest people on Earth, and he melds technology and sorcery, right?
Yeah, he's totally and completely ruthless.
Ruthless.
He is ruthless.
Well, he's one of the
great villains.
He's one of Marvel's like best villains, and if they can do him right, I mean, he causes problems for everybody. I mean, more than he's a Fantastic Four villain origin,
exactly.
but he causes Avenger problems. He causes X-Men problems all the time. Like, he's all over the place, and he...
That's when you get into the weird, like, who owns the rights stuff.
Right. And well, and we should say that this is not a Marvel movie, per se. This is not connected to...
The Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah,
it's
this
not.
Is... Is it 20th Century Fox?
That 20th has Century it? Fox, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And part of them making this movie is so that they can keep the rights... So that worries me a little bit, is like they're kind of forced to make something.
And they're going with a younger crew to appeal to the CW fans of the world.
Totally.
So, you know, all of that.
But everybody
all
in
of that
the movie
sort of
is
gives
legit.
Me pause.
The actors who are playing, I mean, Michael B. Jordan, who's playing Johnny Storm, is a fantastic actor.
Really good.
I've loved him since he was on Friday Night Lights. Kate Mara, who's playing Sue Storm, she's great. The guy who the least known guy is probably the who's playing Reed Richards. His name is Miles Heller, I think. He's been in a couple of things, but he was getting Oscar buzz for Whiplash.
Yeah, Whiplash, and he's in that awkward moment.
Well, and the other thing that will be a dramatic improvement over the first two for sure is the improvements in CG are such that they can do the thing correctly.
Yeah, he's not going to be a dude in a giant foam suit.
He look like a dude in a giant rubber suit. That totally
Even though
breaks
Michael,
you out of those movies.
Michael
Chiklis is awesome.
He's great.
But he's wearing a big-ass suit.
Yeah, he looks weird.
And you knew it. Watching those movies, it would drive me crazy.
And they do not hold up, dude. Like I actually kind of liked the Silver Surfer.
Silver Surfer's cool, yeah.
But
Herald of Galactus.
Yeah, you rewatch that movie is awful, dude.
Awful.
That is awful.
Yeah.
Hey, how does that work? I mean, doesn't Marvel always have to go to a production studio like 20th Century Fox to produce this stuff, though?
Marvel formed their own studio. They were doing that before,
sure,
and that's why they licensed out various.
They licensed to Fox and to Sony
to make
Spider-Man and Fantastic Four and X-Men, and then they made enough money in association with those studios that they formed Marvel Studios. Yes,
they decided. I mean, it was a business decision. We need to keep all this money in-house.
Right.
Yeah.
Because
they've given away, essentially.
Yeah. That's why they have to keep making Spider-Man movies.
That's why they made Amazing Spider-Man, because the rights for Spider-Man were going to... Sony was no longer going to own Spider-Man. They had to make Amazing Spider-Man.
They're talking to Fox and Sony to try to get... There was rumors about trying to get Spider-Man in the next... specifically like Captain America Secret War and possibly the two Avengers movies that have to do with that to try to
Civil War. That whole Civil War storyline, right. Spider-Man is a key player in all of that.
So
if that's going to be a focus of future Captain America movies, Spider-Man's got to be involved.
Well, we hope there's so much money
to be made that Sony's going to say, all right, yes, we'll do no work. You guys make the movie, and you'll pay us $200 million.
And there was rumors that Andrew Garfield was not going to come back for another Spider-Man movie, that they were going to cast somebody else in that role. Because he was disappointed with how Amazing Spider-Man 2 turned out. It didn't make enough money. Like, it should have made a lot more.
It's a mistake. If he chooses not to continue to do that, that's a huge mistake for him.
I think I like Andrew Garfield a lot better. As
he's very good.
Oh, Tom no, he's McGuire, much actually. Better than... Oh, Tobey Maguire's borderline unwatchable. Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, comparing
those
two...
They were just too quick out of the gate with those, right? I mean, it was too much Spider-Man in too short time.
I totally agree with that, yeah.
And the third one is an abomination.
Oh,
Spider-Man is abomination.
Oh, it's horrible.
The whole him walking down the street and like with the black hair, and he's like, he's snapping on the street,
cringeworthy.
Oh my god, who thought that was a good idea?
I have to say, Spider-Man 2, that's a good movie. Doc Ock and that whole thing.
Spider-Man 2 is decent.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on here. What was the other story, Christopher? Oh. Well, keep it in
Marvel Universe.
Marvel Comics are talking about their whole Secret Wars.
Secret Wars.
What's the subtitle?
You know, the next new epic storyline.
There's a
right?
subtitle to it. It's like Battle World or
Battle World.
Is that right?
That was the second banner that they released.
It's Secret Wars Battle World. And
Battle
this
World.
Is,
yeah.
This is basically Marvel's Infinity War. Infinity. Crisis on Infinite Earths, which DC did in the
mid-80s,
where they're trying to reset everything. They realize they have too many universes, too many like random crossovers.
Well,
so
they have
basically
the two main universes in Marvel, right? They have got the mainline universe, and then they've got the Ultimate.
And those are their two best. Those are the two
I mean, what's the percentage do you think of the heroes that are in their pantheon are in one or the other?
Well, like a lot.
Honestly, I think
90%.
Yeah.
Gotta be. Right?
And then there's like little one-offs and random stories and stuff. But most of them exist in that those two universes for sure.
Right.
The thing that to remember about the Ultimate Universe is the fact that the best comic that Marvel had going for a lot of years was Ultimate Spider-Man, written by Brian Michael Bendis.
Yes,
that was their best book for 5 years running, and he wrote every issue of that book. I mean, I have a lot of them in trade paperback.
Why was it so good?
It's just the way
the dialogue, the pacing, the stories. It was like a fresh look. Everything was
in the Ultimate Universe. Spider-Man ceased being Peter Parker, right, and it became Mike Morales.
Miles Morales, and that was years later.
I'm not current with the book, but the first
the first 200 issues are Peter Parker, so it's like it's not even exactly. They killed him off eventually. Spoiler.
Well, it's
so. Are you saying Secret Wars is the crossover between the two universes?
There's gonna be this like huge like crisis on all these like universal planes. And then they're all going to have to work together to fight it.
And there's only going to be one universe left.
There's only going to be This
it's
is
gonna
a
be
giant
a combination of the two.
This storyline is going to be a giant reset button because now they can bring back Jean Grey to the regular universe. They can bring back Professor Xavier because he's dead in the regular universe.
Yeah, they killed him during the Phoenix Saga.
They're gonna be able to reset all kinds of stuff, and bring people back and change some, start things over again. So it's pretty silly. I don't really care, to be honest.
I don't think it's silly at all, Patrick, because I think it offers clarity for people who want to jump in.
Mm-hmm.
And who are confused by Ultimate versus regular.
Totally.
And maybe they're going to expand their audience by simplifying.
And
here's a set number of books, and you only have one universe to pay attention to.
Here's the thing, too. Here's the thing, too.
You can follow this hero that you like.
They're on issue 530-something, and if you don't read that, you know, you're going to come into the comic book store, and you're going to be like, now I have to start with 500-something? No.
You start with issue one. But there's episode 56, issue 56 in the Ultimate Universe
of
the same hero.
They're trying to... But they do these things to so that they can have multiple writers on different stories doing different things.
Sell more books.
Yeah, sell more books. And, like, this is just... It's just a giant, like, publicity stunt. And I think it's... I understand why they're doing it, but it's lame. Like,
but, okay, Patrick,
why do you think it's lame?
Because
it
you're resetting some.
Well, they're crossover events that are pulled off.
Here's what it is. Here's what it is. The dudes universes? Have been reading from the get go. Are like their whole what they've read so far. They have to like. They have to forget, or they have to like.
You're reset. You're annoyed because you're invested in the storyline.
Yes.
Okay.
If I've been reading this,
I love this because I haven't read any of those, so I don't have to go read 500 comics.
Well,
remember what happened.
That's good for you,
but it doesn't invalidate the stories that have come before, dude.
But it also means I feel like it's a publicity stunt. They'll reset to one, and then they'll they'll reset to one, and then like a year down the road they'll be like, just kidding, we're back to 600-something, like, because they've done that before, like, they maybe not to this scale, but they've reset Amazing Spider-Man at least 3 times.
I think this is a bigger deal for them because I think it's bloated having both universes, and they want continuity for movie making, right? I mean, not just movie making. They want continuity for the whole quote-unquote Marvel universe.
Right.
And the Ultimate Universe is this thing that sort of nobody the subscriptions and the purchases for the Ultimate are probably much smaller than mainline. And they're thinking, okay, the cost associated with doing the Ultimate, we need to get rid of that. The best way to do that is to have a huge event, blend them all together, and then that offers clarity for everyone who's ultimately going to work in the Marvel milieu, right? And then the people like Sean or others like me who want to get into these cool heroes that might have been in Ultimate, but I was disdainful of Ultimate, but now they're in mainline, I want to read about their books, and they start over after this big event. Hey, maybe I'll start picking that up at issue number one.
As a comic book reader, like, this bugs me because they do these stunts that are trying to get people to come back and get new readership instead of, I don't know, making good books, stuff that has good art with it and consistent art, and maybe like the freaking cover art is the same art that's inside of it. Maybe try that for a change and stop trying to do these stunts to get new readers in there and start
Patrick, you're such a conservative comic book fan.
And start taking care of the people who have been reading it their whole lives.
Oh, here we go.
Hold on. Instead of trying to get new readership.
This is the heart of the argument.
Okay.
I am the cool guy who's been with comics all along.
This is your feed.
People like Sean are not invited to my party.
No.
No new readers.
keep the reader you already have and make him happy. Don't try to entice new readers.
But,
that's what you're
saying. You can get new readers.
That, right?
Yeah.
So every movie is now drawing in new comic book readers.
Right.
And so I'm sure the sales numbers show there's more readers every year.
Oh, yeah.
And so you can't expect them. You just
especially
can't.
Especially when a new movie comes out.
Oh, yeah. Right. Guardians of the Galaxy comics went up crazy after the movie came out and leading up to it.
I bought
it. And they can't go back 500 episodes. You can't ask them to do that.
Right.
Yep.
So, yeah. Well, I mean, so
We talked about it in the last episode. They relaunched Star Wars under the Marvel imprint in the lead up to the movie. I mean, it's not going to lead directly into the plot of the movie, the issues that are coming out, but they relaunched a brand new Star Wars title to kind of like engender energy into the franchise in anticipation of the movie.
Here's the thing, Patrick. It is a no-brainer from their perspective, from a business perspective, because they're not losing you.
Yeah.
They're not. You're going to continue to read the books that you like to read. But what they will do after they go through all of this and they hype it up and people on podcasts like ours that have millions of listeners will hype it up. And then people will go out and buy the new blended sort of whatever, Ultimate One. And then they'll sell more books.
And then they can just rehash the stories that all of us have already read over and over and over and reset. Oh, now Peter Parker's a teenager again. He's in high school and he's got to deal with Gwen Stacy and you know. I don't care, dude. I'm past that. Peter Parker's 30 years old.
You know what, Patrick?
He's a teacher.
Stop buying comics.
Okay, we got to move on because this is
awesome.
You're okay with suspending reality on the superhero piece, but you can't let Peter Parker regress in age. cannot happen. He can shoot webs from his hands, but by God, he can't be 18 again.
No.
There are freaking rules. There are rules.
There are rules to this. And I don't.
It's not Nom Smokey. There are rules.
But it's fun. So in Patrick's defense, right? Did they do this with Star Trek, or if they did it with one of the shows that we love? I would be right where Patrick is. I'd look. That's bullshit. You cannot do that.
Hold on.
Stargate.
The entire Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
When Abrams took over. It worked because it was such a good goddamn movie. If these new books are fantastic.
But I think there was enough time. There was enough time in between it. And they already reset it. Read the freaking Ultimate books. Those are so good. Like, you don't need to do it. Ultimate books is a reset, like 2000 up to date.
We could talk about this.
We should move on. We should move on to scene. So
I like it.
But it's a great discussion. Do we have any timeline in terms of when these books are going to come out so we can report on the actual content of the books?
Now I have to freaking buy them.
Dude, you don't have to read them.
I have it in front of me here.
Okay.
Let's see if there's some timing.
I'm trying to see if there's like an announcement.
Summer event. They're calling it a summer event. It's going to start sort of, they'll probably do three issues leading up to it in the summer.
It'll be prime time with the new Avengers movie coming out.
And Comic-Con.
And Ant-Man.
Right around con season.
This is what they do every year. Comic-Con will be
crossover.
They will be all over this at Comic-Con. All right.
Scene. Okay. Andrew,
what have I seen? Well, our shows are back on. Flash and Arrow. I am caught up, except for the Arrow episodes that showing right now.
DVR. The beauty of DVR.
Hey guys, I gotta go. Gotta go watch Arrow. I'll be back.
Okay.
Yep.
I'll be back in 46 minutes.
Bye.
So I'm current on that. The show that has new season two that I don't know if anybody else watched season one. Obviously, it got a season two. Black Sails on Stars.
Oh, yeah.
I watched season one of that. It's a pirate show. It's set in 1715. Pirates based in the Nassau in the Bahamas. And it follows pirates that existed in real life.
Russo or Treasure Island, right? Treasure Island.
It is a prequel. Yeah, no, it has Captain Flint, who is mentioned in Treasure Island. It is the treasure It is apparently the story of how his huge treasure gets amassed and how he becomes like this famous pirate. And the main character, Captain Flint, is probably he's the hero, quote unquote hero of the story. But it also deals with real pirates that existed in history, like Anne Bonny, Jack Rackham.
I don't have stars. I wish I did, and it makes me want to subscribe to it, or just for this show.
Yeah,
because I like if it's a well done pirate thing, sailing. You know, I'm into sailing ships and all that. Well done nautical thing. I would love.
Light
so that might get me to.
For my knowledge,
it's a little light.
It's a little light.
It's more
on that
TNA. TNA with pirates, right?
It's got that aspect. It's not as far on the spectrum as like Spartacus, where it was. I mean, they had TNA in every single episode. They had like gratuitous,
right? I'd liken it more to.
I'd liken it more to Deadwood, but not that high quality.
Okay.
But it's that kind of bent on it. It's like the real world of piracy.
What's the what are the main what's the main storyline in season 2?
Okay, the main storyline of season 1 wrapped up. Captain Flint was chasing this huge pirate or treasure galleon. He got intelligence that where it was going, and season 1 wrapped up with them finally like attacking this pirate treasure galleon.
Was that a season long arc?
Yes, it was. He was searching, you know, he had evidence of where it was going, and then he was making preparations because the treasure galleon is a 100-gun Spanish galleon.
Wow.
So he can't attack it with his little piddly 12-gun sloop.
Right,
so
right.
It's not going to work. So he has to, like, recruit others, and they have to, like, you know, kind of get their crew together, and there's back-and-forth power struggles on the pirate ship. Because little-known historical
facts. Too much detail,
dude. No, but here, little bit of trivia. Little known historical fact about pirate ships, the crews elected their captains, and they could revoke their captaincy if they did not earn for them. You elected a captain because you expected him to earn money for you and take prizes, but if
follow
he didn't,
the code, the crew, dude, follow the code.
Yeah, the crew could pirate take code. Him out of his captaincy. So season 2 has begun with them there's a kind of disastrous encounter at the end of season 1. They do not succeed taking the treasure galleon. But yeah, no spoilers, but go watch it anyway.
Did you see any of that Crossbones with Malkovich?
I didn't watch any of that. Was that
was on NBC or something, right?
Yeah,
They hardly hyped that show at all.
No,
it
just
sort of
appeared. He was great in it, I thought. I saw just a few episodes, but I was curious if this how this rated compared to that.
I never watched any of that.
Yeah,
honestly.
I got stars. I'll have to check it out.
It's worth watching. I think it's. I mean, they're short seasons, and there's enough going on that'll keep you interested. It's a little light on action for my taste. I expected.
Yeah. There's no. I was just going to ask. Is there like there's like ship to ship battles, and then there's guns
kind of
and
the first season
and
first
like
season,
sword
first
fighting
season.
And stuff. You know,
there is, but it's few
Are
and far between.
Are they on shore most of the time, or rather,
they're
or
in Nassau a lot of the time?
Oh, okay.
It's power struggles.
So
and
it's
stuff
a soap
like
opera.
Soap opera with pirates
with some ship
so,
fighting.
All right,
a little
there's
bit.
Some love interest. There's probably love interest going on.
Captain Flint has a woman that he kind of keeps in secret.
Mm.
And they're getting into the backstory. And that woman came together in season 2, from what I know about it. Because she is a woman that was well-placed in English society. But now she is living as kind of Captain Flint's mistress. So they're getting into the backstory of how that all came about. Because Captain Flint was initially an officer in the British Navy who was recruited to pursue pirates, but he eventually became a pirate himself.
Hmm.
And we're learning they're gonna tell his story in flashbacks during season 2.
Sounds cool. Yeah. All right.
I'm interested. So it's on Saturday night, so I watched
Not
the first
sure.
episode.
Yeah,
and
I might have to pay for a subscription of that.
Try
just
it out.
Give it a, I mean, you can always cancel it. You can always cancel it if you don't like it. So.
Yeah.
Christopher, is that it for you?
Is Andrew done?
I'm good. Good to go.
Christopher, what you got?
I'm watching. I'm very happy and pleased with the return of all of our shows that we mention every time. The Arrow mid-season premiere was excellent. I enjoyed that episode very much.
I
enjoyed
well.
The Flash episode. I am very much enjoying the other two shows that I will mention. I'm watching 12 Monkeys and Helix on Sci-Fi,
and
those shows
so
are
up with
great.
Those. Okay.
Those shows are great. 12 Monkeys is, they've done a great job of translating that terrific movie, which I really like, into a TV show, an episodic TV show. I love that movie. It's wacky.
Yes. It's Terry Gilliam.
Terry Gilliam, man.
I love that movie. Anyway, they've done a good job of translating that into an episodic TV show. I like it a lot. Okay. And Helix has started off fantastic. I don't know. Did any of you watch Helix the first season?
I did not. No. I watched the pilot, but...
Nope.
Well, the first season was set in Antarctica. Mm-hmm. Not Antarctica, sorry. The Arctic. Mm-hmm. And they were at a secret base up in the Arctic, and a lot of biological and weaponry and things like that were being conducted by this shadowy corporation and their minions, right? And the CDC was sent up there in order to assist with an outbreak. Anyway, so it was focused up there. Season two is focused on looks to be some kind of a tropical island. And they're on this island, they trace an outbreak of this very different virus, appears to be a virus, that causes rapid, like, cellular growth, and it looks organic, and, you know, it's stuff coming out of the people's mouths and all over their bodies and that kind of thing. So they trace it to this island, and now people from the CDC have gone to the island, but they're also there. Some of them are crossover people from the first season. And the main guy from the first season did some things. They've hinted at what he did in the intervening time between seasons, and he blew up something or he attacked this corporation. He did something. Well, he's been missing, and they find him on this island, right? He's undercover, quote unquote.
Okay.
And so it's really done a good job of tying the two seasons together, but setting it in a new environment with new challenges. And the odd thing that I want to mention about the show is during the show, they're doing a flash forward 30 years.
Oh, whoa.
On the island.
Okay.
One of the main characters of the show, she received an injection of the substance, which makes her, quote unquote, immortal. But they do a flash forward 30 years. She looks the same, except she has contracted something that is killing people of her ilk, and she has contracted it, and she has gone to this island because she has traced the outbreak of the thing that is killing all of these quote-unquote immortals to this island. It is the weirdest sort of story setup because they find all these buildings that are active buildings. There's like a cult that's on this island. But they flash forward, and everything is in ruins. It's just very trippy. Really interesting approach to storytelling. So
this show is, like, really gross, right? There's, like, all kinds of, like, blood and ooze.
There's
and
some,
like,
gross out. There's, like, a lot of biological, like, oozing and spewing.
Yeah,
and
a lot of spewing. Like, I don't know if
there
I want
is a
to
lot
watch
of
spewing.
Spewing.
Yeah.
And pustules.
Pustules.
A lot of pustules.
I don't need pustules for my entertainment.
Oh, come on. Everybody needs
The other thing I want to mention is seen is Lando Calrissian was on Star Wars Rebels this past week, dude.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I gotta get caught up with Star Wars Rebels.
I haven't watched any
Star
Wars
Rebels. I enjoy that show very much, and Lando was a focal point of last week's episode. So it was very cool to see a young Lando Calrissian. So,
and it was voiced by Billy Dee, right? Billy Dee Williams did the voice.
Yes,
that's awesome.
No kidding. Yeah. Oh my god,
it
that's
was cool.
great.
Very cool. That's it for me.
Sean, what do you have for scene?
I'm going to bring it. You think I got nothing, but I'm bringing it.
Oh, okay.
Look, all the standard stuff that you guys watch, right? So Agent Carter, loving that. And I'm full up on that. We just caught up the other night. There's just a few episodes,
you're doing
right?
a good but job with that. I enjoyed that.
That's great
that,
stuff.
Last night's episode was good.
I enjoyed it.
I'm taking my daughter Abby back through Battlestar Galactica, so we're in season
this is
one.
Nice,
fantastic,
just,
awesome.
And that's probably once a year I go back through that, but it's still fantastic.
The first season of that show has got to be the greatest stretch of TV sci-fi ever. Right?
Season one and season two are freaking great. The whole thing with Pegasus is like the best shit ever, dude.
And here's the telling thing, right? So she hasn't seen any of these, and she's in high school. She is loving it every night. Oh, hey, we're watching an episode or not? I mean, so it's still holding up. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I love it. That's awesome.
I tend to be, so, you know, I go hunt out something on Netflix, and right now I'm on the last season of a show called The 4400.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I watched that one. It was on USA or something?
Yeah.
So I hadn't seen it. It's, you know, mid-2000s. It's not great, but it's holding, you know, I'm committed enough now that I'll watch
the compelling.
Fourth.
It's compelling television.
Yeah.
And, if I remember right, it sort of petered out at the end, and I kind of lost interest toward the end.
Yeah, so. I think people probably know, but the construct is, hey, 4,400 people taken away by aliens, they all show back up on the same day, and they have abilities now.
Right. And they're all from, like, different time periods. Like, there's a guy from, like, World War II, and then there's, like,
exactly. Right. None of them have aged, so, you know, the premise is great. They do okay with it. The one thing I'll throw out for you guys to appreciate is Summer Glau is in several episodes. So,
oh, no kidding.
Yeah, I was watching that, and the episode I was watching last night, just starting the final season, and then I think it got canceled, but... but she is picking up more and more of a role, so it's great to see.
Okay.
Great to see her.
Cool.
Not a Joss Whedon show, but she's holding her own in this. So
it was probably right after Firefly. Like that got canceled, and then she probably like hopped in there as like a guest star. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. She's in multiple episodes and great character.
Hmm.
Awesome. And then on the big screen, Barb and I, my wife and I, went and saw the movie called Wild, which is no joke. If it, emotional ride on that that movie. So
Reese Witherspoon.
That's filmed in Portland. That's filmed up here.
If you want to see Reese Witherspoon go through some crazy shit, go see that movie.
Okay. Sean, I'd like to ask you the question.
With Reese Witherspoon going through some crazy shit.
Sean, have you seen the movie with Emile Hirsch called Into the Wild?
Familiar with the book, right? That's the same as
right, same,
Thin
same.
Air. The
guys that goes to Alaska.
Right. I feel like they're similar kind of movies where it's like a person like going out into the wilderness to try to deal with some emotional problems and like to try to sort out their lives and work through some stuff. And I saw Wild also, and I don't know. I feel like Into the Wild is a better film. Maybe, but Emile Hirsch is not as good as
Reese. You've seen Wild?
I've seen Wild, and I've seen Into the Wild. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I thought it was good.
Is there a big difference? Similar experiences, but is there a big difference in terms of the female experience versus the male? Do they? Is there a?
Yeah.
I mean, not Into the Wild. So a little bit different, right? She is just working out her issues. As she hikes 1,000 miles, you know, from Mexico.
She's not necessarily suicidal or potentially suicidal.
Right. No.
Into the Wild, that's just a dude trying to get away from people and go be by himself. At least that's how the novel was.
Mm-hmm,
But anyway, the movie's well done. If you like Reese Witherspoon, go see it. And if it's a good date movie, but, you know, you're not going to leave feeling good about yourself.
Well, I mean,
there's a lot of emotional baggage.
There's definitely, I mean, here's one thing to say, like, there's no death in it because she survives. She does not die because she writes the book after that it's based on. So, I mean, you know that going in. So the kind of, there's not a lot of like, is she going to make it? Is she going to survive type of stuff? Because, you know that she does. Well, at least if you go into it knowing it's based on a book.
Well, it's from the standard tradition of... Yeah. Go ahead.
It was well done. I enjoyed it. It's a good movie, especially if you like Reese Witherspoon. And
she did a great job.
Barb liked it too, but she didn't. She wasn't. You know, she needed something happy afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Sure.
Gotcha.
We had ice cream.
It's definitely not cheery. Cool. Do you have any more scene? Is that
no? Not on scene. No.
I watched the regular things. Arrow, Flash, Agent Carter. I will say that, like, after our conversation in episode 26, I cannot unsee the fact that they're, like, laying it on pretty thick with the male, female. Yeah. Well, like, yes, the whole... the scene, yes. The scene that really stood out in the last episode, I'm not really ruining anything, but she walks into the interrogation room, and the one guy says, it must be tough for you because a man will never see you as an equal. And like, him saying that, like, was like, whoa, that's pretty hardcore. Like, they've been dancing around it a lot, but that was pretty, like, in your face. And I hope that they come back with that character eating his words. Otherwise, what's the point of doing it? You know, I want everybody to, like... I want there to be, like, a resolution to all this bullshit that they're laying on her, you know?
It's kind of, it reminds me of Mad Men, if any of you guys watch that show.
Yes. Oh, I love Mad Men. I can't wait for it to come back.
Yeah. Did they pull one of the writers across, though, from Mad Men?
Totally.
Put all that crap in there?
A little bit, yeah. Right? But like, the resolution with Mad Men, though, is, like, Peggy finally gets the respect, you know? She finally gets it over the course of the show.
Because she's so women, good. But... The women... are put into positions of power in that show, right? I mean, there is a power dynamic involved.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And there are times when the women in that show, and I'm not a regular watcher, but in Mad Men, they are more together and they've got a better handle on things than the men.
Right.
Yeah. And
the early seasons are very much the women are the secretaries, mm-hmm. and you know, they're getting coffee and spending the night on the couch with the guys. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And
right.
So, yeah.
This
so
is a shorter time frame. Agent Carter is a shorter time frame, so we'll see. But,
we'll see if they come around with that. So let's move on to Red. Sean, we're going to start off with you right out of the gate. What have you read that you would like to talk about?
I'm going back on Game of Thrones. I made the mistake of just picking up the first one, I think, while Chris was out here. And so I'm almost done rereading the first Game of Thrones book.
Wonderful.
Fantastic, right? I mean, they're so good. Wonderful. And I hate that I'm reading it again already. Right? But I'm like, well, the new season's coming out, you know, I need to spin back up on it.
You've read all of the books, you're completely up to date.
I have. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And for the record, I have read all the Lord of the Rings stuff, unlike you guys, and
pull
up on
that. Nice! Drop the hammer!
Just get that out there.
And Andrew, well done, Sean.
Well done. Thanks for coming, Sean. It was nice having you on.
Mute.
We're going to go mute his ass. Yeah.
I can walk you through the Dune stuff, Foundation, wherever you want to go.
You've read Foundation?
I wanted to call in. I was listening to the last episode, though. I wanted to call in and say, I think it's Patrick, right, who's got the Audible credits?
Yeah.
Dude, Isaac Asimov, Foundation.
Okay, next on the list because I downloaded Hyperion and I downloaded The Martian, so I have those two ready to go. But the next one that is definitely going to be the next one for sure. So,
but current so Game of Thrones and then I think Thor number 4 is coming out this week maybe. Oh, I haven't picked it up if it's out. I'm eagerly awaiting Thor. That's the only comic book, and I'm not a huge comic book guy. And you guys, I mean, credit to the podcast, right, for dragging me back into the store.
Cool.
And reading Thor and sharing it with the kiddos. So we're enjoying those a lot.
Awesome.
And they're fantastic. And you know, while I don't want to swell all your heads, but I read the entire series of Dresden Files based on the recommendation coming out of the podcast. Fantastic.
Dresden Files is so good.
I read those. I pushed them. I got 3 of the Audible downloads and sent them to my brother for Christmas. So yeah, those are great. I really enjoyed those. And I wouldn't have known without the Brothers Geek. So thanks to you guys for pointing me in that direction. But Yeah, I burned through them, so now I'm waiting. Now I'm screwed, right? Because I'm waiting for him to write the next one.
All right, you're off mute now, Sean.
No, you can remove that splice mark.
That's right.
That's right. Awesome.
But that's it. That's it for me for Red.
Cool. Christopher, what you got for Red?
I am caught up on Batman Eternal.
Woo!
I love the fact that I have every issue of that. I am enjoying, and really I tie it to obviously the podcast because we committed at the beginning. This is the book that we're all going to read, and I have every single one, and I am 100% caught up. And I'm enjoying the hell out of it, actually. I have to say, there was a lull in the middle, sort of. But Batman is more prominent. There's lots of stuff going on. Is there still a mystery out there as to who sort of is the big bad? But we are interacting with almost every villain in the Batman universe, which I love. And Selina Kyle is taking on an interesting new role. And
I'm enjoying that
book a lot.
Hmm. Yeah.
I'm definitely one of my favorite books is that Thor book. I really enjoy that. I chomping at the bit to read number 4. I think it's out today. And so I definitely have to pick that up tomorrow. I love that book. And I'm caught up on Iron Fist, and Iron Fist is an interesting story. And while I have issues with the art, the story is interesting. So I'm enjoying that. I'll stick with that. I absolutely have subscribed at Samurai to all the Star Wars books. I got the Star Wars.
Nice.
I'm going to read Vader, and I'm going to read Princess Leia with the hope that it's really good and tells an interesting story from her perspective. So I'm excited about that.
And people have – critics in the past with Star Wars have talked about the lack of strong female roles in the Star Wars universe. So if they can make her be like an interesting character and have an interesting book,
is her book going to be set during the same time period, or are they different time periods?
I have no idea.
The new book, the new book starts immediately after A New Hope, right?
Right.
And so I'm wondering if the other books are going to be during the same time period, or maybe the Leia book is after episode 6.
They have so much content that they could do with the comics where they could bridge the gap where, Return of the Jedi ends to the Force Awakens begins. Yes. There's so much like in between.
I'm curious about how they'll approach that. I subscribe to it. I'm going to get it. So
they
I'm
should definitely do something in that time period for
and
sure.
The only other thing that I will mention in Red, I'm working my way through the Crimson campaign and all of those other books that I'm reading, but my mind has been blown this last week because I downloaded on Audible The Martian.
Oh, yeah.
And that book is easily the best audiobook I have listened to. I have enjoyed that book so much.
How far are you into it? Because I downloaded it too. Holy.
I'm on chapter 23, dude. I'm almost done, too.
Oh, my God.
It is incredible. That book is
that
so
That book is so good. We'll talk about it when we get to my part.
Oh, my God.
We'll talk
about it. Oh, my God, is it good.
Andrew, what do you have for we'll get into it.
I can't recommend it enough, The Martian. Andy,
wow. Okay.
It is so good.
Okay, I'm going to give you all my time. I am continuing to read through Dune, and we just met the new character of Dr. Kynes, the Judge of the Change, I believe is his title.
Has he taken him out on the ornithopter yet?
Yes, that whole scene where the worm attacks
spice
the
factory.
Spice factory.
Yeah,
it
yeah,
was,
yeah.
And I mean, I know that scene from the movie and the miniseries, and I'm actively working to dispel that movie from my brain.
Yes.
Because the book is so fantastic, and how the different aspects, the different characters, and how they react to each situation. And I just you guys talk about blown minds. The passage I just read last night, it's the scene kind of almost immediately after that where the Duke and Jessica and Paul are hosting a dinner for dignitaries at their home. Yeah. And there's like, you know, a couple of merchants, and then Kynes is there, and then a couple other guys. And there's this extremely long – not, I mean, I wouldn't say extremely long because it's not 100 pages. But there's this long passage in this scene about the ecology of Dune and the water and kind of the dynamics of, you know, the kind of the scientific realities of a planet where water is the most – scarce resource.
It's that fascinating. I mean, nothing. I totally agree with you. That
the ecology is genius. Like the
it lays out the power of water, both from a scientific perspective, and then in the sort of mythological currency.
Oh, that's the
of
point.
Power,
that's the other.
All of
the
that.
Other
right.
Point. That's the other point. They tell that one of the people at the dinner is disgusted with the idea of how the Fremen, when a person dies, they remove all of the water from the dead body, and it is given to his heirs as like a precious commodity.
Yeah,
and that has in the people who despise the Fremen or are, you know, superstitious of the Fremen, they call them, you know, they're drinking their blood, they consume the dead, they're cannibals or whatever. Where and Dr. Kynes, who is they haven't come out right away to say it, but he is obviously a Fremen, and he talks he's gone native, and he talks about how, well, you know what, water's the scarcest, and he's very patient, and he's lecturing this guy. I mean, Dr. Kynes is an extremely dangerous man. You get the sense from the jump that this guy will freaking kill you if you cross him. And the way that he explains this, and how he's menacing, but he's forceful, and he's still like dignified about it. It's just great. I love the character so far. He's great. He's and he comes into the book 150 pages in. Like you have all these other characters that are well established and well drawn, and then Dr. Kynes comes in and he injects kind of this new level of, I don't want to say menace because that has kind of a negative connotation, but he's definitely dangerous. He's an unknown quantity at this point, and I'm loving
it. I can't wait till you get deeper in. We'll talk more about this.
Yeah, I'm totally sucked in. It kind of got to a point with the holidays and everything else, and the fact that I was plowing through to get through all of Batman Eternal, which I am just one issue behind now. I didn't go and get a new issue this week yet. I'm all about – I'm going to – yeah, Dune is firing on all cylinders right now. It's hitting on so many levels in my brain.
Yeah, it's so
good. Loving it. I'm loving it.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yep.
Patrick is listening to The Martian, and it is so good, so entertaining. Their math in it, the science fiction are fantastic. It's like just a little bit in the future, so everything is like based in reality. Everything makes sense. Everything is very...
like relatable technology?
Relatable. The character...
The descriptions of the tech you can follow, but it's technical, but it's interesting.
There's so much math and cool stuff, but he explains it very well.
Yeah.
So you don't feel like, I don't get it, I'm lost. I'm
not, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's so fun, and it makes sense, and the character...
And it's stressful the whole time.
It is
it's
so,
so
stressful.
It's so good.
Because he's... The conflict is he's left behind on Mars, and he's like the mission is only supposed to be like 30 days, and he's got to survive until someone gets back, which is potentially like 4 years, and he's by himself, and like how he figures out how to live, and like how he figures out like
what happens to him there.
Realistic
discussion of the failure of stuff that was only supposed to last a month.
Yeah, so he has to like
for a
his
year
oxygen doesn't work, so and it, oh my god, so like oh it's so frit. And
definitely
listen to it. And while I'm listening to this, I looked up. They're making a movie of this with Matt Damon.
Damon
is playing the lead character, and it's directed by Ridley Scott.
I think it's going to be – I was wondering about that. I think it's going to be really tough to translate to the screen.
Well,
because a lot of his communication is like a log on a computer.
Yeah.
It's
that's
really
the best part.
Interesting how they pull
him,
that off.
Him doing his mission log is the
recording
book.
Things for posterity because yes. he's going to die.
So everything's like
and hopefully
pretty
somebody
much,
will find the computer.
Yeah. So somebody will hopefully find this and hear how it led to my death.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing, and it's so freaking funny and tense. And
yeah. So you guys are lukewarm on this book.
Exactly.
Totally.
Okay, good. It wasn't clear to me.
It's very much like the Castaway movie, but on Mars.
Castaway movie on Mars is a great way to describe it.
Freaking awesome.
But much more interactive, much more at the narrator, the guy who was stranded is funny and clever.
And he's like stuck. He's stuck with watching his commander's like 70s TV shows
because disco.
Yeah, because he has all this time on his hands. He's all by himself, so he watches like 70s TV shows to.
I'm glad you're liking that. I can't wait to listen to it when I get up in the morning and drive to work.
I have about an hour left. So
I got to tell you, Patrick. So I was going to make fun of you, right? Because you started that whole thing with Patrick is listening to, and I'm like, why is he referring to himself in the third person? But so I was going to make fun of you that. But one of the things that as a listener of the podcast that drives me crazy is sometimes it's hard for me to distinguish your voices between Patrick and Andrew.
Yeah.
And so then I was like, well, wait a minute. The thing that drives me crazy, he just solved because he told me who was talking.
Right.
So I didn't listen to anything you had to say about the Martian because all that was going through my mind.
Well, Patrick can say it again if you want.
Yeah, no, I appreciate when Patrick refers to himself.
Wow.
That's good.
Patrick appreciates you, Sean.
That is honest listener feedback.
All right.
Number two fan.
On the moment, listener feedback.
Patrick, I'll just say dumbass.
Dumbass.
That's any one of you guys.
Right. Well, we are brothers, so our voices are probably a little similar. That's pretty much me. I read the first two Thor books. I'm really liking that a lot, but I spent so much time talking about the Martian that we should keep this ball rolling and go to Plaid. We're going to start off with Christopher. Christopher, what you got for Plaid?
Plaid. I've played WoW. I've played Diablo 3. I've played Destiny. I continue to play the Banner Saga on my tablet. Great game.
Chris, when do you sleep and go to work?
I stay up late and I get up early and go to work.
Okay. Wow.
So he doesn't sleep is the answer.
Not as much sleep as I should be getting.
Okay.
For sure.
All right, good.
Yeah.
But, you know, my WoW time is literally logging on, play for less than an hour. Destiny is the same deal, and I'm not doing this in the same night, typically.
Sure.
I do Destiny one night, WoW the next night, that kind of thing, because I don't have enough time to do all of this. But and Destiny, my Destiny play has just been logging on and doing the daily story mission, heroic story mission, at the highest heroic level I can do it at. To get the ascendant shard or whatever it is I can get from that, and that's all I do. Maybe I do a patrol, but that's pretty much all I've been doing on Destiny. And WoW is similar. I don't like commit to a raid or anything. I just haven't had the time. And Diablo is a great game because you can jump on and play for 45 minutes, and a single sort of run in Diablo takes about 15 minutes, and so you can finish a rift in Diablo in about 15 minutes and do a multiple rifts and get, see if you get some cool drops or not. And then you crank out a few of those in 45 minutes to an hour and you're good in that game. So
Cool.
Yep.
All right. Andrew, what you got?
Surprise, surprise. I've been playing a lot of Destiny. I, like Christopher, have been logging in and doing the heroic story to earn legendary shards to build the damage power of my legendary weapons. I've made a concerted effort to work up my heiress reputation because I want to rank up enough to buy a specific item from Eris so I can get myself.
You've got the weapon
legend.
That you
what's,
can.
What's the item?
I need an urn. I need a some kind of urn so I can legendary up my Husk of the Pit, which I have fully maxed out. I have maxed that out in terms of the XP that I needed for cannibalism. I have killed enough Hive. I spent hours and hours and hours killing Hive. Over and over and over, just shooting them in the face.
Welcome to the gaming grind.
Yes. I know, and I mean it's fun. My most fun race to fight and kill in Destiny is the Hive. I love fighting the Hive. I think they're the most kind of fun. I love the knights. I love the wizards. I love Thrall. The zombie kind of attack of the Thrall always kind of gets me. You know, I love that part of it. Yeah. So they're the most fun race for me to fight. So I actually really enjoyed leveling that up. But I need to rank up with my rep for Eris so I can buy the urn so I can make myself a legendary auto rifle.
That's going to be a slog. And this is part of the criticism of Destiny. They put out this DLC.
It absolutely is a criticism. Absolutely.
They put out this DLC and it's bullshit. They just added new layer, new currencies. It's very annoying.
Yes. And there's been articles that have been written recently about the next DLC that's coming out, the House of Wolves, about how they're going to try to learn from how they're going to try to learn the lessons of.
They haven't learned shit. Their servers suck. Like, I still get kicked all the time.
That's your internet problem. I never get kicked.
All right, Xbox Live sucks, man.
No, man.
Dude, I never get kicked off of Xbox Live ever. Right.
I have constant problems with that.
That's your internet.
No, yep. I have friends who have the same issues.
Nah, man.
Nah. I'd never get kicked.
All right, cool.
Anyway, anything else, Andrew?
No, that's it. I am loving it. And yeah, Destiny's
way
the
way to be a gamer, right? Dude. Awesome.
I love it.
Sean?
Yeah, I was going to say, shout out to Andrew from 10 podcasts ago where you had nothing, brother.
Yeah, exactly.
You were so pathetic.
I was like, I got nothing.
You were hours of grinding to upgrade your weapon. In
I know.
That's
so bad.
He's come so far.
I'm so proud of you.
Patrick is so proud of you.
I've never had a game that consumed my attention like this. Like, I would play through the campaign of the Halo games.
Yeah.
But I would never play. I mean, there's enough content and there's enough of the game for me to play. Where I am totally into it. I would play through the campaign of Halo, and I'd pretty much be done. And
clearly,
now
there's an intervention in your future.
There might be. I've been with the girlfriend for a year and like 4 months. She hasn't broken up with me yet, so we'll see what happens.
No, right. I'm playing. Look, Warlords of Draenor has got me. It's a great game. It is. I'm very much rocking through the Garrison stuff, but. I went back and did some old raids, and so Firelands, soloing that. I told Chris I need his help to get through the 25-man heroic Firelands. Yeah, so and 2-man, that'll be a piece of cake. Just some of the mechanics are eating me up right now.
But
great game, and I love that old solo content stuff. But I've done LFR, all the new wings. I'm looking forward to the new raid that's coming out in a couple weeks here. So,
cool. So
I'm playing that, and then a game that you've never talked about. Chris knows I play. I'm a huge Clash of Clans guy.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that game. I'm in a great clan. It is so fun. And I play it. The thing I love about it is it's little 15-minute increments, right? So you can get on and do an attack or do one of the – if you're in a clan war. So I'm a big Clash of Clans guy, and I play that every day.
My only problem with Clash of Clans was I got to the point where things were taking days and days to upgrade, and like for me I don't know, the carrot wasn't there anymore. Like I didn't need to look at it for a couple days to get that you know dopamine hit, you know.
Yep.
And so I never wanted to come back.
No, you're right, Patrick. I mean, it's designed to hook you and then extract money from you to speed up the gameplay.
Speed that up.
Yeah.
And forever, you know, I've been playing probably 9 months now, that thing. And I finally got to the point where I'm paying $15 a month to WoW.
Yeah.
And I'm probably having as much fun with Clash of Clans. So So probably every other month, I'm okay dropping $20 on Clash of Clans.
Wow.
And clearly they are you know, squeezing me for money. But the gameplay is great, and I play it every day. I enjoy it. It's worth $20.
Sure, sure.
So
absolutely, I can see that.
That's how I roll with it, and that's it. I'm not a Destiny guy. I'm still rocking the original Xbox.
Oh, you need to. You're too behind here, right?
Wait,
you're the original black deck Xbox?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Wow.
I've got my original in my garage. I look at it.
I got my black deck somewhere in my house right now.
Do you guys did you ever play any like Elder Scrolls stuff, either of you? Because you guys have decent computers that could handle the new Elder Scrolls Online.
I played Skyrim.
Well, Elder Scrolls Online is going free, like you have to buy the game, but then no subscription. Okay. I was just curious because I love the Elder Scrolls stuff. But
Skyrim is so fun. That's
right,
an awesome
right.
game.
But I don't have a good enough computer to get that working. Yeah. So I was just curious if you guys have looked into that at all, but
I haven't seen that. I was telling Chris, I'm looking for a good, I was a big Civ guy and some of the World War II turn-based games, so I'm on the hunt right now for a good kind of world-building turn-based game.
Do you want?
I haven't found it.
Turn-based world-building.
Or it could be real-time strategy like right. the old Warcraft games or the original StarCraft stuff, But yeah, I'm looking for something along those lines that's not a MMO.
Right, right. I'll have to think about that one. They've kind of like shied away from that stuff. I think you're kind of in the minority here with
I checked
people
out
who
Steam.
Enjoy those.
I looked at Steam, Sean, after we talked the other day, and I've got like for whatever reason I have like $40 in credit on Steam. I may pull the trigger on that game Grey Goo just to check it out. That looks fun and less micromanage-y. And so I may check that out and talk about that next time because I've got some credit on Steam that might be worth pulling the trigger on that just to see what it's like. So
yeah, cool. I'll be interested in what you think about it. But that's my play.
All right, sweet. In tradition of my New Year's resolution, I am trying to play more board games. So I have I've been playing a few board games, but I will talk about one specifically. And this is funny because you were talking about Helix and 12 Monkeys earlier. I played a game called Pandemic, where you are working for the CDC and as a team. The players of the game are fighting to contain virus and outbreaks throughout the world. So there's a board game, you know, it's a board, and then each like there's different cities throughout the world, and you pull cards, you flip cards every turn, and outbreaks happen in those
various cities,
regions. Right? And that's where the chance comes in because like. And if there's certain amount of like contagion cubes in that city, then it spreads to the other cities around it. So you're trying to go to the cities with a lot of cubes and take these out of the different cities to try to like contain it. And you're also trying to build research centers to
how many can play?
Seven.
Working together.
You're all working together, and you all have
to
like
fight the spread.
You all have like a you get a random card character, and there's like the medic. The medic can go to different cities and like clear out all the cubes out of any city in one turn. So you get so many turns per you get so many like actions per turn, and then so like he can do that in one. One swoop, clear all the cubes out.
Have they done this on tabletop?
Yeah. Yeah, they have.
There is a video on tabletop.
It's a really good episode, actually, at tabletop. Cool. You can watch that. That's actually where I heard about it. What's that?
Is this a game you have played with your partners in crime, Shane and Gabby?
Yeah, we went to Guardian Games.
What's the minimum number?
The minimum number is, I think, two. Okay. But it's pretty hard. Like... And what's great about it is you can make it harder or easier depending on how many people you have in it. Like the first time we played, we only did 3 epidemic cards. Epidemic cards gets pulled out, and you have to like put extra cubes there in different places. You have to reshuffle the cards you've already done. So like cities that have already been like contaminated get recontaminated, so you got to go back. So it makes it like really difficult. The goal is to try to cure all the diseases before you run out of actions. And the game is like fighting against you the whole time. So but it's so much fun. Oh my gosh. We played it twice. The first time we succeeded just barely, and cured all the diseases. The second time we put all the epidemic cards in there to try it out, and it kicked our asses. It just, we didn't last very long at all. And so it's a lot of fun. Oh my gosh. And it looks sounds beautiful. Cool. The game's art is gorgeous. So definitely worth it. And it's on the cheaper side too. Like some of these games can be like 50, 60 bucks, and this is only 30. So okay. Totally worth it, I think.
All right.
But yeah, cool. That's what I played.
Analog
Andrew.
Gaming.
Andrew.
Yeah. Got a little board gaming.
What do you have for trivia for us?
Okay, there's a little bit of context to this trivia tonight. Before we got into the podcast, I landed on a rerun of The Big Bang Theory. And it was the episode where we are initially introduced to Sheldon's hatred of Will Wheaton.
Will Wheaton.
Nice.
Will Wheaton. And he quotes from The Wrath of Khan when he talks about how much he hates Will Wheaton. And that got me thinking.
Yeah.
There are two – here's the question. There are two Star Trek movies, Star Trek Wrath of Khan and Star Trek First Contact, that quote from a great American novel.
Ooh.
Characters quote from this novel in two separate Star Trek movies.
Oh.
Tell me the novel and tell me who wrote that novel.
Moby Dick
and
Herman Melville.
All right, that was too freaking easy. I thought that was going to be quite challenging for you guys.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, no, Wrath of Khan says a lot of lines from Moby That's Dick when he, because, you know, yeah, Kirk is his great white whale, and in Star Trek First Contact, Picard quotes from Moby Dick a lot when he's describing his hatred of the Borg.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's – you miss some of it. I mean, you miss some of
that stuff. That line from the book about – it's so visually arrest. It's so perfect in terms of this is how much I hate you, is that I will turn my chest into a cannon and shoot my heart upon thee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that line is so amazing in terms of
Melville
the
is
descriptive power of this is how much I hate you.
Yeah, I'm willing to sacrifice everything to destroy you. Yeah, it's pretty intense.
That's how badass Star Trek is to me. It's like it's pulling from Moby Dick to like illustrate a point.
Here's the thing we can agree on, that the two best Star Trek movies are probably Wrath of Khan and First Contact. There are very crappy Star Trek movies in that series.
Well, so. They're varying degrees of goodness,
I would say. The Next Generation, those are definitely the two best Next Generation movies.
First Contact, what's the other best Next Generation?
Oh, Wrath of Khan is original, sorry.
Oh, yeah, Wrath original series,
Yeah, First Contact is definitely the best.
Oh, yeah.
Next generation. Absolutely.
Yeah. I like Generations. Okay. I think Generations is pretty good. It's entertaining, at least. It's not great, but it's entertaining. So
good trivia question.
Yeah. Good trivia.
It's too damn easy. I thought I was going to stump you guys.
If you would like to help Andrew with trivia, you can email him at kingofthenorth52@gmail.com. What else? You can email the podcast at brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com. You should follow us on Twitter at brothers_geek at twitter.com. You should visit the website, brothersgeek.com. Thanks for being on the show, Sean. You were great.
Yes. Thank you, special guest Sean. Thank you so much.
No, thanks for having me. You guys need to, I would say, up your social media content.
Yes.
So I haven't been to the webpage since whenever I last commented, but I watch the Twitter stuff, and when you tweet links to articles, I love it. I read them, and
right.
I really
all
appreciate
right.
that. So,
got it.
So
we appreciate that feedback. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I mean, if you can link the webpage via Twitter, that would get me to your webpage more frequently.
Cool.
Excellent. All right.
Yeah. Awesome. We will do that.
No, it's good stuff.
Thank you all for listening. And Christopher?
And don't ever forget.
Oh, God.
Ever. That Han shot first.